He's about to make his way into the studio.
I hope he's not pissed that we made him come in.
I hope not.
Where
he's
the
former heavyweight champion of the world.
He was taking a couple chip shots.
Please. Was
Bring
he really?
Yeah. Bring him by.
All right, here he comes. Ladies and
Hold
gentlemen.
On. Hold on, look at that.
It's Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
Joe Frazier. Hey, were you? Joe. All right.
Hey.
This is exciting.
There you go, right here.
Hi, Joe.
Joe Frazier.
How you doing?
We got a Robin here.
Hi. Hi, Joe.
Hey, all how are you? Where's my headphones?
Hi, Marcus.
We got some headphones for you.
How are you?
Come on in.
Come on in.
Step on over here.
Yeah, he needs it. Do you want to use Sherry's headphones?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, here he is.
Joe, we really appreciate you coming down here.
Great Joe Frazier.
How are you?
We are doing great. Oh, man. Look at you. Joe Frazier. Yeah.
They trying to get me.
This is great. We are so psyched that you came in here. We are psyched. You want the volume up a little bit?
Yeah, in your headphones?
On my headphones.
All right. Gotcha. There you go. How's that?
Thank you.
Is that good?
Yes.
Joe, come on now. Come on, Joe. Come on. Me and you. Here we go. Come on. Joe Frazier.
A white champion.
How you doing?
A white champion. I'll be the white champion. Joe Frazier, you had such a fantastic career. I loved watching you fight. I love the fights with Muhammad Ali. I loved all of your fights. Who doesn't love Joe Frazier?
Uh-oh.
No, well, now what do you say uh-oh for? Who doesn't love Joe Frazier?
I mean, it's different. You put boxing on the map. You know you did. I hope nobody's ever told you that 1971, that changed heavyweight fighting and boxing in general. And you're here. This is exciting for us. We are totally psyched to have you here. I know you're probably not excited to see us.
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
Now, you wanted to...
I'm just dead, that's all.
You only had 2 hours of sleep. We heard you only had 2 hours of sleep.
They beat me up already.
Wow. Did you have an unfortunate experience this morning on the radio, or did you...
No, it was great. No problem. It's just the idea of leaving yesterday. You know, we tried to explain to the other people that I know the road like the pilot know the air.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us up in them doggone planes, and we got out last night about probably, we got to the airport like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Right.
We didn't leave out till 12, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Oh, it sounds like you got the same travel agent we do, Joe.
Yeah, we fly like that all the time when you get out in the middle of it. It stinks.
No, I'm a trucker all over the world. I can run.
Really? Keep on trucking.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Joe Frazier, so you've written this book. You've written a book called Smoking Joe.
Yes, I did.
There's a lot of controversial stuff in this book, Joe.
Well, you know, until like it is, you know, for a long time, I sit down, I listen to all the noise, everybody else, Joe Frazier. Okay.
Are you talking about anybody specifically now?
Yeah, we know what you're talking about.
Was that a Muhammad Ali impression there?
I'm talking about that damn butterfly.
The butterfly. Okay.
Yeah. Right, now, listen.
You know, I was looking in the book, and you refer to him as Butterfly. You also refer to him as Cassius Clay. Clay, actually, you call him Clay.
Yes, sir.
And that's getting the most publicity out of this book, that things, you don't have a lot good to say about Muhammad Ali. And my question would be, why is that, and why has it lasted this long?
Well, not really lasted that long. You know, mm-hmm. He never gave anybody else a chance to say anything. He goes so fast, running off at the lips.
I hate big mouths like that.
But now he's like quiet down.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to talk a little bit. Let them listen to me.
I made Mavis laugh. Mavis caught that.
Marvis.
Marvis. What do I call him? Mavis?
Hello. Yeah.
My apologies.
Hello, Mavis.
Hello, Mavis.
His listen, name is Marvis.
what he's talking about, what everybody's talking about, is the fact that you were in all of these very important fights.
That's right.
With Muhammad Ali.
That's right.
And Muhammad Ali,
No, I was a standby. You know, I was like a guy that's come in to get my butt whooped. You know what I mean? He did all the fighting,
mm-hmm.
and I was just a stand-in guy at the time. You know?
Yeah, but 1971, March of 1971, you proved everybody wrong.
It didn't go exactly like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What they have done, let's say... The media, the fans, some of them who, let's say, I always say that a guy, if a man can't lose, then he got no call winning.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And they were really upset, some of the people over the world, because they lost everything that they had.
Do you think because of Muhammad Ali, after you won the fight of the century, the biggest fight, it most people say in history, the fight that you won, do you think because of what he said after the fight, that you didn't get the credit you deserved being heavyweight champion of the world?
No, a lot of people over the past years have betted against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not afraid to say that. They were with that butterfly, sting like a butterfly.
See, Joe, here's the thing. Hold on a second. You know what? I don't know who you're talking to. Because most people that I know, people like Muhammad Ali. Well, people like Mike Tyson. But you say the name Joe Frazier, and you're probably up there with them.
It's probably in different environment that you be around people, you know. But therefore, the real people that really lost the money is the people who had the big bucks. You know what I mean? Who had the money to throw around, and they got their pocket empty. You know?
You're talking about the people that bet on Muhammad Ali.
There you go. There's a lot of people around the world
who were upset when you beat Muhammad Ali.
Come to think about it, was 2 to 3 people lost their life in Madison Square Garden the same night.
Mm-hmm.
People were killed that night?
And they died heart attack.
They had heart attacks. Because you won the fight.
Well, they lost their money.
So you think? So let me see if I'm tracking with you.
There's a big conspiracy plan then.
Because of the bitterness of people that were betting, and I remember that fight because that was when I was a kid.
I bet on you, Joe.
Everybody,
no, I understand.
Everybody, man. Really. There was a lot of people that were betting on Ali to win that fight.
There you go.
And it was an upset. And
just as much rich than the poor.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
They had the money to bet, and they give it all up, and they lost.
I remember listening to that fight on the radio, and it was so late, and listening to it, and listening to you win that fight. And it was a great moment in sports history.
Let me ask you this: a lot of people would like you to be friends with Muhammad Ali. A lot of people would like to see Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali stand side by side.
Well, why should I be a friend of a man that, you know, I helped and pull him out the quicksand when he was down? Then he turned around and just said all the bad things about me. I was like too short. I was ugly. I looked like a gorilla.
Can I tell you something?
At the time I got away,
you are dreaming. You are dreamy. Can I tell you how handsome you are? Now, listen, don't think that I'm coming on to you. I'm just being honest with you, Joe.
Please,
you
are not now, please.
You are so handsome.
Thank you.
You're much better looking than Muhammad Ali or any of those guys.
You know, the name calling, and you mentioned all the names that Muhammad Ali called you, but there's got to be something for somebody, because you know Muhammad Ali and the condition that he's in right now. Everybody knows it's well documented, his health problems, but there's got to be something deeper than just the name callings that would make you still feel the way you do. Is there anything that goes deeper than you said when you mentioned the names that he called you?
You take the whole situation, look back. All the black fighters that he fought, we all had names.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can recall some of it. Floyd was the rabbit.
Floyd Patterson?
Yes.
Right.
Cleveland Williams was the bear cat.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Right.
Sonny Liston was the bear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Ernie Terrell was the wise woman, and I was the gorilla, and I act my part out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, you're crazy.
When the bell rang, I act my part out.
You're crazy.
You know? Because it wasn't necessary.
Right.
It wasn't to the point that it was because the percentage of the fight, we all had guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
If it was just you and the manager showed up,
mm-hmm.
then we got our money.
You got your money.
So it wasn't a publicity. The people wants to think like him, or who got their ass over the years with the money. They says, he just said it because it was publicity for more people. It didn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
If one person that showed up, we got the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a...
Would you like to hit Mike right now?
No, Mike for what?
No.
Mike's all right.
Look at Roger, he was just pretty intense. He was making some one-on-one eye contact.
I am into this because I do remember, I don't remember a lot of sporting events, but I remember that fight like it was yesterday. And
everybody does.
And there was that much surrounding
that. It just wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And mainly it was all black guys he fought. And we all was an animal.
Mm-hmm.
We was the human being. We was them. Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Gorilla, and boy, I acted out too.
So he degraded all the black fighters
there
that he fought.
Go.
Okay.
We couldn't bend this a human being like him.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
All right, now let me change the subject for a second. When you got out of fighting, or maybe it was even when you were still champion, when did you get your band together? Because I remember when I was a kid, Joe Frazier, like on the Mike Douglas show, singing and
Griffin or something like band. That. Let me explain something. I had a band. It was the Police Athletic League in Philadelphia. It was the police who put a certain amount of money,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the unprivileged kids. And upstairs was a rehearsal hall. Downstairs was the gymnasium. I'm a country boy. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, sing something for us now. Come on.
Amen.
The hell's he singing? What are you singing?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, amen. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I know this one.
Amen.
Sing it louder.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on down now. Most tragically white men in the room right here trying to sing this, you know? Yeah, okay. How do we do, Joe? Do we all right?
I'm having a white boy.
Let's do glycerine.
Glycerine. Glycerine.
I want to ask, Marvis, I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about your father's
step
relationship
up here,
with Muhammad Ali?
I called you that on purpose. I called him Mavis on purpose. That's just a joke.
Good evening, sports fans, and welcome. You know who I am. I didn't need no introduction. We're here right now with one of the greatest pugilists of this fiscal that in the person of my father, Smoking Joe Frazier. Yeah. I remember March 8th, 1971, the 15th round, down goes Muhammad. Who could forget that epic day? And we're here right now with another great pugilist, that in the person of Iron Mike, the Panty Raider Tyson. Well, young man, there's been controversy surrounding your life. Some call you a criminal, an outlaw, a thug, and now a Panty Raider.
Look
what
at Joe.
Do you have to say for
look
yourself?
At Joe. Look at how proud Joe is of his son.
About the spectacle that you've made of your life, Michael. Well, how don't be little, Chris. No, I'm a tough guy. I made some mistakes. Hey, guys, it's a pleasure to be here. And we thank you for inviting us on.
All right. Hey, listen, Mike, you can pick up your check.
There you go.
You can see you.
A new impressionist on this show.
I will go work with Mavis. Oh, I know, not good. Your name. Not
Marvis.
Listen, now, can you guys stay if we play it one commercial set, 5 minutes? Can you stay through the commercials?
We're here now.
There okay, you you're go. Here now?
All right, that means he's going to stay.
Stay right here. We'll come right back. We'll find out more about Smoking Joe Frazier after this.
Radio Gods.
I give up kids for the British show and tear.
Don and Mike.
WJFK at 10 till 5. Here's the beauty of Sherry. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Don and Mike. I'm Sherry Licker, Metro Traffic Control for WJFK.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
Enough already. Enough. Enough. No more talk of Diet Cherry Coke. Here's more of Don and Mike.
All right, Smoking Joe Frazier back with us. Now, Joe, now that we're done talking about Muhammad Ali, I want to find out about Joe Frazier today.
Okay.
I want to find out about the real Joe Frazier. Where do you live now, Joe?
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
You live in Philly? What kind of car do you drive, Joe?
Anyway, from 90s to 93. Elevator Ritz, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
4.9, would move, and I drive all over the world.
You a good driver?
Hey, man, I've been doing since I was 7 years old.
You drove when you were seven?
Seven.
How did you manage to drive when you were seven?
Sit on daddy's lap.
There you go.
Now, when did you let your son drive? How old was your son when you let him drive?
Oh, man, don't talk about this guy with a car. I love him madly. This guy just kills a car.
Really?
I don't know what he's doing.
Have you had problems with the car?
I just don't know what Marvis does.
Marvis, what is your problem? What's the problem with
Marvis,
the car?
Marvis, do you have a lead foot? Do you drive a little too fast? Is that what it
no,
is?
No, it's not fast.
No?
Bad?
Just bad.
You know, just bad?
Not bad in the car.
You have something in common with this man right here. This man is one of the worst drivers on the face of the planet right here.
Oh, now listen, I am offended by that.
I am a safe driver.
Oh, see, as am I.
You know, that's what, it's just been my experience. That's what bad drivers say. They say they're safe drivers all the time.
They beat up a car for no reason. I don't know what they do to a car. I said, I get in this car a couple of days ago. I said, Marvis, what do you do to your car, son?
Marcus, what did you do to your car a couple days ago?
Well, it's kind of missing. I think I need a couple spark plugs on it. No.
That's it, spark plug?
Listen to this. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a car man.
All right.
You got a car.
Got a
so
car.
So he said, Marcus, take the car, put another motor in the car. The car's like probably 89, 90. I said, put them on the car. A car had like 100,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
He spent the money to put a motor in the car.
Right.
I drove the car. The car run worse.
With the new motor?
Before you put the motor in, after.
Now, Marvis after is shaking his head. He's saying that's not true.
Trust me.
What's your side of the story, Marvis? What's your side of the story? Did you put a new engine in the car?
I put a new engine. He put a new engine in the car, but then take it back to the guy and make him do the job right. That's what I'm trying to say. He put, that's the Marvis, please.
Now, Joe, are you currently married?
Me?
Yes.
Nazan.
Now, are you married? No.
Married, two lovely kids.
Oh,
wow. All right.
Okay.
Teacher. Teacher, counselor.
Congratulations on that. See, here's going to be my question. I got to think, you guys, a father-son combination?
Yes.
Going out and hitting the meat market on a Saturday night?
I'm
going
to meet you, Dagmar.
Excuse me?
You know what kind of meat we're talking about.
On a Saturday night, you know what I'm saying? Okay. You guys walk into a bar, and you got...
Wait a minute. We work together.
All right.
We go to church together. Uh-huh. We don't play no meat chasing together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man.
Does Marvis preach to you, Joe? Does he preach to you since he's a preacher?
No.
He doesn't do any preaching to you?
I don't like going to church with him because he makes me cry. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You know, well, good morning, everybody. I want to let you know I got my daddy here with me this morning.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to say about my daddy, but my daddy's a good daddy.
All right.
But he's a wild scam boy.
See, now, if I was your son and I wanted to get across a message, I'd bring you to church with me, too. That's a way to get people's attention. Now, isn't that why you bring your dad with you to church?
No.
Praise the Lord, man.
I'm a good father. But on Wild Daddy is 50,
mm-hmm.
52. What I've done, I went on and made a good living for my family.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't chase too many beavers.
Too many women?
No, not too many beavers, you know what I mean?
All right, listen. Let's talk about you now. How many times a week are you having sex now? How many times a week are you getting it right now, Joe?
Lord, he says, Marvin says, oh, Lord.
When I'm not working, uh-huh. I find, no, I didn't say sex, now I find something to do every night.
I think he's answered the question.
Every night.
Put our hands together for Joe Frazier right here.
What happened? I cut back when I was a young man. Let me tell you about that doggone gloves, man.
Really?
Yeah, see, the white boy, have a little bar.
I don't know what he's saying, but I know it's dirty.
I believe we are. No, we are bonding. Joe and I know exactly what he's talking about.
It's really good. You know,
when you were fighting.
That's the problem why we can't get a white champion, you know. Mm-hmm. You boys got
Well, now we do love.
That don't,
we do love that,
me,
Joe.
Trust me, that don't go together like hand and gloves.
All right, now then Mary's the next question. When you were fighting.
No.
How long would you go without, you would not have sex before
six,
a fight?
6-7 weeks.
You would go 6 or 7 weeks without having sex before a fight.
And I want to kill somebody, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you would
ask them. That's what happened.
You would tell the young fighters of today that that's the best way to do it?
None of this, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean,
none of that, what Joe was just doing with his hand.
if the lady loves you, she'll wait.
Uh-huh.
And if she don't love, she going on.
And then after the fight's over, especially if you win, I mean, it's double trouble.
All my kids born after fights.
After fights?
Yeah.
There you
check
go.
Them out.
All right.
Yeah, which fight was he born after?
Well, we talk about that. That goes up Mel's, don't we? Leave that one alone, yeah?
So how many, do you have a regular girlfriend now, or do you just have a variety of women that you date?
Well, I just like move around, you know what I mean?
Move around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have nobody special. I move around, and Marva's keeping me to work all the time, so yeah. I don't have time for ladies, you know what I mean?
You know, I see those heavyweight fights today when they bring you up and they introduce you, and I would just say, that must be, I mean, you must just be fighting the women off in that situation.
No. I'm a clean guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask you this about boxing. Back to fighting.
Be careful.
How would you beat Mike Tyson? How would you beat Mike Tyson? Big,
like
intimidating
Buster,
fighter. How would you beat him?
Buster Douglas, I would come up to fight. These guys don't want to fight. They come out, want to hug Michael, want to kiss him,
yep.
Want to hold him in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That don't win no fight.
You know, that would be the biggest complaint now when you buy a fight, and of course when you fought, there was no such thing as pay-per-view, but now you buy a fight, you pay your $40, and you get pissed off because either Mike Tyson comes out and knocks the guy out in 2 seconds, or
who was the British guy that just fought Tyson? What was
dancing.
His
name? Frank Bruno.
Frank Bruno, it was obvious, was terrified as soon as he got into the ring with Tyson.
Both, they hug and kiss all night long.
And then eventually Tyson gets to him, and that's it. You would go after him as soon
Michael,
as you enter the ring.
Michael was, I'm telling you, I'm 52 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I would go in training. Put the beavers on the side.
Oh, now wait, now you have a problem with your dad saying this?
It's a major statement coming up here.
The mom has always had a problem, but therefore, you know.
You go ahead and make that statement. Would you take on Mike Tyson?
When the bell rang, I go to training for 6-7 weeks. I know I can do 4 or 5 with Mike right now.
You could do four or five rounds with Mike Tyson?
No, I have no problem with that.
And maybe, one punch, you know, maybe get that left.
I come to fight. I ain't come to hug and hold him and kiss him.
What about George Foreman? Has anybody ever approached you about fighting George Foreman?
Let's go to somebody else, man. Let's talk about him.
You don't want to talk about George Foreman?
We can talk about George, but George, see what it is. What I'm trying to tell the people, everybody's saying George's too old. Well, George is so old, why don't these young boys run over there and knock this old man out on his butt and get him out of the way?
Mm-hmm.
Why would they have to strip him of his title? He's old. Go kill him. Get him out of his misery.
You get along with George?
I love the guy.
Yeah.
There's nobody, and he'd be knocking me down about 17, 8 times. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, he was a totally different fighter back then. I mean, he's so much bigger now. Yeah. He's so much bulkier
now. This guy is a human giant in our midst, okay? Mm-hmm. Look at him, man.
Oh, I've looked at him.
There's nobody running up to Michael Morton. I didn't hear him raise no hell when the fight was canceled.
Who's that British guy? Who's the British guy?
Frank Bruno.
Bruno.
No. What about Lennox Lewis? What do you think of Lennox Lewis?
Well...
we're going to go back to that again about Lennox Lewis?
Not me. I didn't
All right, Joe. Let me ask you something.
You know, I wanted to ask you about the fight with Peter McNeely when Tyson came back and fought that fight, hey, and man, everybody in boxing thought that was the biggest joke. What did you think of that?
Sounds like daddy. Daddy like, son, what do you want me to do? what do you want me to do about it? Okay?
Well, I'm just curious what you think about it.
Marvis, they talk about how bad Marvis was fighting. But Marvis lost maybe 2 or 3 fights in his whole career.
Marvis is a good fighter. Who says Marvis is a bad fighter?
Wasn't his dad a good fighter?
Were you a good fighter? Of course. Yes. You're the best.
Mm-hmm.
Was McNeely a good fighter?
No.
Okay.
So that answers that question.
Yeah. Right? There you go. Touché.
Do I have to sing for you?
No, you don't have to sing at all. I like the singing, though. I did. I enjoyed the singing.
It's same thing, man. Father like son.
Let's get back to this Mike Tyson thing.
Okay.
You, seriously, you
it's
would
a
fight
heartbeat.
You would fight Mike Tyson.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
Five rounds.
And you could go 5 rounds. You're positive you could go five rounds.
I ain't got no problem.
Have you or your son approached Mike Tyson or Don King or anybody about that?
What I'm saying, I love the guy. I'm just happy to see him being a champion. You understand? But I don't understand all these problems he walk around and have. I mean, it's no guy have done and been... This off the record now, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Nobody have been and done some of everything that I've been involved in my lifetime. But it's a way how to do anything. Here's a guy got all his love. You know how you spell love?
How you spell love? L-O-V-E.
M-O-N-E-Y.
Money. Okay. All right.
He got all his love. Now, why is a problem that you have to have with these ladies or anybody? You know what I'm saying? It's a way to do it.
Well, now, you do make a good point that Mike Tyson, after the problems, probably shouldn't be going to strip bars.
How much of that do you think is management as far as the people that are surrounding Tyson? Do you think that's a problem?
What I want to strip bar for? Mm-hmm. I don't go to think that. I don't want to see nothing.
Do you think it's the people that are surrounding him that are not giving him the right guidance? Is
birds,
that it?
Birds of the feather.
Flock together.
In the herd.
So you don't go to strip bars?
No.
The strip bars come to you.
No.
You know what I'm saying, Joe. Every night, a different girl every night.
I didn't say that.
No. All right. But you have companionship every night, though. Every night companionship. Huh?
I'm a good guy.
You know that? How about this? How about your dad getting so much, huh? How about your dad being such an active son of a gun at 52, huh?
Don't be a little Chris. You know, Joe Freed is a good guy. I love him. I love you, Joe.
I believe that was Mike Tyson.
That was a little Mike Tyson.
There you go.
And listen, about the book. Why did you write the book? What was the one statement? Why did you write it? And what's the one thing that you would want people to know that to go buy your book? Why should they go buy it? And why'd you write it?
Well, because over the years, you know what I mean? Everybody else sit down and they had 2 and 3, 4 books, you know what I mean? And they said everything that they want to say.